Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and I wrote down here, I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Excuse me. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But, this is a good one, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And that's where I'm going to stop. Paul begins this chapter speaking of an heir. And it's basically an introduction. He starts off saying that the child may be the heir, but the child is still a child. I like that. Well, there's something going to happen to that child, even though the child may not know it. When that child is born and declared the heir, it's the heir, even though the child doesn't know it. Sort of like things were predestined beforehand. But still, being a child, the child is treated as a child. It has teachers, it has tutors, it has governors, it has people that rule over the child. Now, it says, until the time appointed by the father, the one who designates the heir. Now, what I do want to say right here is this is not talking about Christ. This is talking about us. I've heard some descriptions, and that's why I thought that song was appropriate this morning. Jesus Christ existed before he came. Okay? People have this odd idea that the baby Jesus was the original concept of Jesus Christ. It's not true. We'll get to that in a little bit. Our Lord was never a child. Now, Jesus was a child, but our Lord was never a child. Walter and I spoke about this a little bit on the phone the other day, and this is something that Henry Mahan pointed out to me years ago, and I still remember it. And I want to throw this out for you. When you read in Luke chapter 2, there's a statement in chapter 2 and verse 42, and it says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And they had fulfilled the days as they returned. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him out among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. They found out he wasn't there. They went back for him. But what Henry Mahan said, you don't ever read in the scripture, and it will never say this statement, when our Lord was 12 years old. It says when he was 12 years old. When it talks about the child, it uses the name Jesus. It does not say our Lord, because our Lord was never 12 years old. Our Lord is eternal. He was in the heavens. The scriptures were written by men, but they were written by men inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you will not see a mistake like that unless somebody's added it in. Jesus was a child. Our Lord was never a child. Now, explain the dichotomy there. Go right ahead. He is called the God-man for a reason. Our Lord was called the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And nothing was created without Him. And by Him all things consist. But I still remember Henry pointing that out to me, that the scripture's accuracy does actually go to the littlest details. But this is not speaking of here in chapter 4 of Jesus. It's speaking of us. Let me get to the right place here. This is a reference to the chosen children of God. And it becomes plain as he speaks, or as he writes. Believers are the heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Believers are chosen and are heirs before they ever know it. That's what this is saying. The heirs are taught. The heirs are brought up. The heirs are ruled over until they become the heir. Amen. And then they take on a new job. And when does this happen? Well, actually in verse 3 it says, even so we, when we were children. That tells you who Paul's talking about. But then it says in verse 4, and this is kind of where I wanted to get to, and what I want to talk about, when the fullness of time was come. God does not get in a hurry. Man gets in a hurry. And God is never late. I'm pretty good at being late. God does not procrastinate, which is a really good word for being lazy. I'm guilty of that. Everything that has happened in the fullness of God's time. Amen. God is proactive, to use the vernacular of the day. Man is reactive. Usually wrong. And when man is proactive, he's usually wrong about that too. And just to make a point, God doesn't care what time we think it is. He's got his own schedule. See, it's not the fullness of my time. It's not the fullness when I think it's time. It's the fullness of time. God, in the fullness of time, sent forth his Son. God moves with purpose. His purpose, not mine, not yours, not anyone else's. God moves on purpose because he has purposed. From the beginning, he declared the end. And in between those two times, the beginning and the end, God has purposed many things. In Isaiah 14, he says this, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand." That's in the early part of the book of Isaiah. the one that was written by the original Isaiah, not the guy who wrote the second half. Y'all know that, don't you? No. Two people wrote the book of Isaiah, according to most scholars. It can't be that the story changed, or what he, you know, he took on maybe a slightly different writing style, or maybe he started writing about something different. That couldn't happen. It had to be two different people. People are crazy. The Lord's thoughts shall come to pass. And when I read that, I thought, well, because I'm me, I'm glad some of my thoughts don't come to pass. But all of his do. All of his do. Surely as I have thought it, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. It's going to happen exactly as God thought it should happen. And who has been his counselor? It ain't me. And it ain't you. And it's not anyone else. My thoughts are not his thoughts. Because his thoughts are perfect. My ways are not his ways. His are much better. The thoughts of the Lord are perfect. The ways of the Lord are perfect. And I am so bad off that I don't even know what true perfection is. I can't imagine it. I know Christ is perfect. I know God is perfect. I know the Spirit is perfect. But I know better that I'm not. I cannot conceive of perfection, Walter. Absolute holiness. Absolute perfection. I am that corrupt. I am that depraved. Still, now, even after being, as they say, in the way for going on 25 years, I'm still that corrupt. Mason, I thought someday it'd get better. I was wrong. Actually, in some ways, maybe it does get better, but then other problems come up. You get a good hold on a piece of theology, as you say, and then something else pops up, Walter. They say, wait a minute, now what does that mean? Now it means what it says, but what is it saying? And who is he saying it to? And what's it about? And these things bother me where they didn't used to before. Then in Isaiah 46, Isaiah repeats himself, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. This is about the work of God. Not only did he think it, he spoke it. And if he spoke it, it's going to happen. If he purposed it, it's going to happen. If he thought it, it's going to happen because I will also do it. And when in the fullness of time, God did something. Now I do have one more that I wanted to share with you just to bring a downer to it. Well, you got to have the negative along with the positive. This was from Jeremiah 4:28. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black. Jeremiah was so cheerful most days. Why? Because I have spoken it. I have purposed it and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. What the Lord has spoken, what the Lord has thought, the Lord has purposed. And what he's purposed, he'll do. It is that simple, that part. What he's purposed, he will do. And from Jeremiah, that's what men call bad things have been purposed too. Now that's a really hard thing for people who do not know God to understand. But it's so. When Romans 8 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, it means that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. That's all good things as we see them, all bad things as we see them. That's all things that we're indifferent about. All things work together for good. Here, God has purposed something we would call bad. For this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black. That's not a mountaintop kind of day. It sounds like it's more in the valley, Mason, as they used to say. But he's purposed it, and it's going to happen. And, according to Romans 8, which is also true, it is for your good. It's for our good. It's for my good. And I have been around long enough to see it. And I'm sorry that some people think it's only all good things work together for good. Well, duh. Of course all good things work together for good. They're good things. But all bad things work together for good to them that love God. I'm working on it. I'm getting there. It's a dramatic pause. You got to stop every now and then. Take a breath. To them that are the called according to his purpose. To these who were a child, and now are an heir. All things work together for them. God has purposed both physical and mental tribulations for his children. And God has purposed the same for the world, but the world doesn't recognize it. But that's inherent in that statement I just read. They don't know God. They don't know his thoughts, they don't know his ways, and they don't know he's perfect. Some of them do believe. Their belief is sustaining God. But what happened in the fullness of time? God sent forth his Son. This is what Paul is writing toward here. And this is a bold, wonderful statement. In the fullness of time, very important here, what I started to say earlier, God doesn't say that in the fullness of time, God created his Son. He sent him forth. Yeah. He was already there, like in that song we just sang. In the heavens, thinking it not robbery to be equal with God. Because the Word was with God and the Word was God. God did not create his Son. Jesus was not created. The Son existed before. He was sent. And he was sent by the Father in the fullness of time, according to his thoughts, according to what he had said, and according to his purpose. The Son is eternal just as the Father is eternal. Paul later on states that Jesus Christ created everything that was created. And there was nothing that was made without him. and by him still to this day all things consist. And in times past, by him all things consisted. And when he was on this earth, by him all things consisted. And forever by him all things shall consist. God sent him, but it also says he came willingly. The Father sent the Son, but the Son, in full knowledge of the plan, of the purpose, of the thoughts, of the words of God, what was going to happen to that Son, he came. He was sent, but he willingly came according to the purpose of God. Willingly.
Yeah.
Now, when we come forth, we're not willing. And that's from your mother or toward God. Each time when you come forth, you're usually not willing. And I had no knowledge when I was born. But when the Son came forth, he had already existed forever. Amen. The Word, who was born into this world as the Son, was God at the beginning. I can't explain all that. I know it happened. I believe it. It's in this word, and it's this word is true. But when God sent him forth, this is the other thing, he was already the Son. He did not become the Son when he was born.
Right.
That's another mistake the world makes. He did not become the Son. He already was the Son. That's who God sent forth. His Son. That's good stuff. You know, if you were to read stuff like this, you might think there was a plan somewhere, Mason. You might think there was a plan. God already had a Son to send before he sent him. And when God sent him forth, he was already the Son. Now he took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He did not come in sinful flesh. But he did not come in perfect flesh either. He came in the likeness of what we are. But when he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, when he came made in the likeness of men, in the form of a servant, he already was the well-beloved, only begotten Son of the Father. God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time. And then there's a descriptive statement here, and I'm going to have to quit just a little bit. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. This was also planned. This was also purposed. This was also thought of. This was also referenced in Genesis chapter, the first book of the Bible. He that was born of a woman, the seed of the woman, would bruise the serpent's head. Even though the serpent might bruise his heel, he was going to bruise the serpent's head. There was no earthly father Mary was a virgin. I believe that. That's as far as I'll go with it. Okay, because Walter, Catholicism rears its head in inopportune times. Okay? And I'll just go ahead and give you a little bit of this. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And Mary, it is said, by Elizabeth, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. But it doesn't say that she was blessed above all women. That's what Catholicism says. And you and I believe some of the stuff I learned about this. According to Catholicism, Mary remained a virgin the rest of her life. And she was taken bodily to heaven. Okay. As far as her remaining a virgin the rest of his life, I don't know where Jesus' brothers and sisters come from. Okay? The Bible does speak of them. Yeah. That's in the scripture. As far as being bodily taken to heaven, the scripture is strangely silent about that. That's not in there either. I don't even know if that qualifies for hermeneutic eisegesis. Because that's just making stuff up. That's not reading something into something that's there. That's reading something in that's not there. I've been there. I got to thinking, and I'll throw this in just for free. I'm wondering, Walter, just on the fact of sheer numbers, that there are not more prayers thrown up toward Hail Mary than there ever are to Christ. Or to the Father. Because they got all these people doing these beads. They call them rosaries. Now, I used to own one. I don't anymore. I owned one because my mom gave it to me. I didn't go out and buy or spend my money on it. I never said it because I never knew what the purpose was. Well, I found out what the purpose was. You didn't believe that part either. But anyway, you do three Hail Marys and you say an Our Father. Then you do 10 Hail Marys, you say, in Our Father. Then you say 10 Hail Marys, you say, in Our Father. You say 10 Hail Marys, you do that 5 times. So that's 50 Hail Marys to 5 Our Fathers. Per each Catholic that does a rosary. And that's Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox. I didn't know what an Oriental Orthodox was. I didn't know there was such a thing as something called Oriental Orthodox. They will focus, man will focus on anything except Jesus Christ. And they have been doing this for hundreds of years. Thousands of years. God's got a purpose. God had thoughts. God has spoken. God has purposed, and God has brought it to pass.
Yeah.
Now, God purposed the rosary. There's a lie. There's a lie out there. And like I said, it usually boils down to one thing. Anything but Christ. They teach that you can go through Mary to get to Christ because every boy's got to listen to his mother. That's what it means. Serious. She's got his special ear. I do hear this stuff every now and then. And it vexes me to no end sometimes. people will have anything but the Christ of this Bible. And they will make up the craziest stuff you ever heard of in your life. I told y'all about Scientology. I know a bit more about Catholicism. I know a lot more about Catholicism than I knew when I was in it. And the more I read, the more I see, the crazier it gets.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I know exactly sometimes, Walter, what Paul was talking about the simplicity that is in Christ.
Yeah.
The simplicity is Christ is all. And in all them that believe.
Yeah.
And those that don't believe, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows.
Yeah, sure.
It shows. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, and with a specific purpose in mind. And we'll get to that maybe next week. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your Son, our Lord. Thank you for everything, because you have done everything. You give life, you give faith, you give us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you for your salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved his people from their sins, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.